Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
You know.
What's that all about?
Welcome, Amelia.
Well, welcome, Mitchell.
Welcome, Amelia.
Thank you, Mitchell. Where did that come from?
My mouth just...
You're an idiot.
I just invented it. I was like sitting here bored.
And you know what I was thinking?
I wonder if I welcome Amelia, will that sound...
Weird,
in
yes
my
it did.
Barry White voice. This is not really not a Barry, Barry White voice. It's more of a choked Irish.
You know,
person.
All the kids are listening going, who's Barry White? Anyway.
Barry fucking White. You alright, Barry? You alright, mate?
How are you going? Yeah. Have you got a song?
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
No,
yes,
that is not your song.
Because I was
today.
Listening. I was listening to the techno version of it.
Right.
Because I've joined this site.
Oh my God, this site.
This Facebook page.
Oh my goodness.
It's called Ravers 30 Years Ago, something like that. And it's based on Perth rave scene 30 years ago. And everybody's getting on there. Like last week it was 500 people. Now it's 1,500 people. Everybody
actually need
back
to
in the day.
I need to join even though
Can
I wasn't
tell
around
me
at that
how
time.
To get
You love seeing pictures of yourself as a young gun.
Yeah.
Well, not gun.
Here
but
we go. Yeah. I do. It's great. There's some great tracks on there. Oh, yeah. My God. Trip to Trumpton. Anyway. Yes. So
So there you go. That's your song. Actually, well, we're talking about kids today anyway, so I suppose that's suitable.
Yes, little shits.
No, they're gorgeous. Nah, Lola messaged me this morning.
I love when the clients bring in their kids. Like there was two little boys in here today. Oh my God, they were just so cute. They were very, very, very cute.
I didn't
cute.
Say them.
Yeah, two little blonde fellas came in and I was tickling them on the couch. And they were just like, cute. Yeah, kids are cool.
Yeah,
Lola got a new bike today, just so everybody knows. Yeah, I've got a new bike before I go away tonight in my Opus 4 camping. Yeah, can you imagine that? Yeah. Me camping?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so what are we talking about?
We're talking about kids. We're going to talk a little bit about. Well, we've noticed a few people. I definitely have. Anyway.
How's your finger?
My finger's a bit sore. I burnt it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway,
we've been talking there for about 5 minutes. We haven't.
We actually talked about anything. Well, that's nothing new with us. Yeah. So anyway, we've noticed a few people. Or I definitely have recently that have sort of. I think you get people's situations, as you know, with what we do, we get different situations in spurts, you know.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'll get different types of people coming through, and at the moment I've noticed a few people that have are joining, you know, who've done relationships and you are doing relationships and you and stuff like that, who have got a lot of mother guilt, you know. And
is there father guilt as well, or
I'm sure there is the no thing? I'm not being sexist, but I'm noticing it. There's obviously parent guilt out there. But there's a little bit of that, and I just wanted to touch on that a little bit, and then as well as, you know, what you can do to connect with your kids on different levels, you know, and being able to connect with kids. Mm. I know, you know, it's such a – I mean, there's so many – like we could talk about kids forever because there's so many things that you could talk about. But I feel like – that's kind of prevalent. It's happening a bit, and I feel like it's probably something.
Well, I
awesome
mean, it's always good because
it's
fresh in your mind when you're attracting certain spurts of things or groups of things, you know. And it does happen seasonally.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you have, so we're talking about the kids and the connection, and you know, when I'm at work all the time and I'm coming home, like on the way home, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see my kids. But when I get in there, like it's so full on, you know, like it's like, oh my God, this is full on. And then I get home and I don't get time to really connect. So I have to go down and I pull Ollie aside and I'll have a little wrestle with him. I'll have a little tickle with him. But it's actually, I've only really, if I'm really honest, that's not connection either.
No.
Messing and playing.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, messing and playing and tickling and chasing is actually not connection.
Well, it is. It definitely is to a certain point.
Well,
but I feel like it is. I feel like it also is a way to avoid it at times. It depends on the person, and it depends on whether you're doing it to be present or whether you're just doing it just to escape or to get through the moment. Do you know what I mean? I didn't tell you. I had a conversation with Lola a few weeks ago when I was at your house, yeah. you know, and I was talking to her about how she knows she's loved, you know.
Right.
And she'll say that mummy tells her every now and then that she's loved, you know.
Yeah.
She says, but I know with daddy because of how he talks to me and how he plays with me and how he jokes with me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So she knows that because of how you are with her. Do you know what I mean? She feels that. So the connection must come through in that respect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's even though...
But I think when I go in and I play with them or I play with Ollie, I'm trying to speed it up.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Do you
know what
I mean? I'm trying to fucking speed it up. I guess I've only got a couple of minutes before I have to get him into the shower, get him fed, get him into the shower, get him into bed, read him a story, you know? And then by the time you do that, you're just like rooted. Yeah. I'm like... And it's like, oh my God, just go away. Yes. I just want to just sit down and relax.
But do you feel like that's because you don't feel like the connection is the recharge for you? I understand that
so
someone
you mean
who's
if I
with
connect with him and so I'll tell you what connection looks like with Ollie.
Yeah.
Connection looks like with Ollie when I can sit down and, you know, we'll both lie down on the ground and I'll look at him and he'll look at me, or I'm in bed and he'll get into my arms and I'll just tell him a story, you know, and he'll stop and he'll just go quiet and he'll just be like, and then he sits up and he's, you know, he's listening, and then I'll say to, you know, or I'll ask him, you know, what did you do today? And he just tells me something random, you know, like I made an Easter hat and I stapled it to one of the kids' heads or something like that. So that's the connection. And then if he's talking about how he feels, you know, but like we're about to go away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we will spend 2 weeks where I don't connect with them.
Yeah.
Because the minute you turn up. So watch, hold on. Yeah. Let me explain it.
Yeah.
The minute I turn up, they get out of the car.
Yeah.
They get on the bikes and they're gone.
Yeah.
And by the time they'll come over every now and then, they might come out in the morning and jump up and have a squeeze or something like that. But they're off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so that fun that they're having, you know, I try to get in on that fun with them, but I don't. That's a type of connection, but it's not the connection I think I cherish the most, which are those moments where I'm reading him a story or I'm having a little conversation with him about his mate or about his school teacher or he's, you know, he's showing me the words that he's learned today.
Yeah.
That's different. Do you know what I mean? So I definitely agree there's different levels of connection. But I always find that playing with him is trying to short circuit, or you know, Brené Brown says, hot wire it, so that you can just feel something, because it's not about when you're talking to them about what you're talking about, it's what you're feeling in the moment when you're actually with him. Yep. So connection is an energy thing. It's not what you're saying, it's not the story, it's not how school was, it's the two of you calm down. It's like breathing at the same time together, you know, and he's part of you and you're there and you're just, you know, even if you said nothing, you're just there with each other. Do you know what I mean?
I think that it's I think it's a misunderstanding to think that connection is just being physically present in the space. You have to be energetically present in the space.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to be there for the sake of being there, not because of what you're doing, not because of what it, like with Ollie, I know, you know, him playing Lego or him doing some random thing and him having a conversation, that's him feeling like you're with him, you know.
Yeah.
You're present, you're listening to what he's got to say. And it's the same with the girls, you know, with your girls. It's like you're listening to what they've got to say and where they're at in the moment. I noticed the other day when I was with Lola that I wasn't paying attention to something because Ollie was trying to grab my attention for some other reason. So she was trying to talk to me and I had to just stop her and I said, Lola, I'm not with you at the moment. I can't be present with you. You've got to give me a few minutes and I'll come back. And in doing that, that's a form of connection because I was acknowledging that I wasn't there, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I think sometimes we try so hard because we think we've got to spend time with them. But less time that's quality is better than more time that's not quality, in my opinion. Quality is better than quantity.
But the other thing I noticed is that when I do that and when I have fun with him let's say I do it with Lexi. Let's say I have fun with Lexi.
Yeah.
And then we sit down and I ask her about stuff, and like you can't ask your kids about school 2 hours after they've got out of school. Mm-hmm. When they get out of school, you got about 10 minutes. In that 10 minutes, you've got to ask them about what happened in school. So when I do that and she feels I'm interested, later on, because I've connected with her like that, she will come over and she'll be more affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll climb up on you and she'll lie next to you and she'll hold your hand when you're watching the telly. But if I don't do that stuff, she it's not consciously, but she just doesn't she doesn't do it consciously. She just doesn't consciously later connect better. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
And I know that Ange really struggles with the affection with the kids. She doesn't like the play thing because, you know, her perpetrator when she was a kid, that's how he did it. He would play with her first and then he would cross the line and then suddenly she's getting, you know, she's gone through all the stuff that she went through. So she finds it difficult. So play for her equals, whoa, I can't trust this situation. This is, you know, even though she's a 50-year-old woman, I can't trust this situation. So I come in and I do that with them. And so I know that if I stop and I give it that time, I'm going to have connection with them. Going away, you think, oh, I'm going to go away and have a break with the kids. You don't have a break with the kids.
Yeah.
The kids are off doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You're lucky. If I get a couple of connection times throughout the whole 2 weeks we'll be away, I'll be very lucky. I'll be very happy. But most of the time, you don't. You know?
I think there's times where it happens in moments. But in those moments, it's just about being present in those moments and for those moments. It doesn't mean that you're not connected. Because in my view, right, if I'm connected with someone, I don't need to be in the same place with them to be connected with them, because the connection happens just in the knowing that if you and I are connected, right, and we're running a seminar, we're in tune, we know exactly what the other person's going to say. If one of us fucks it up, the other one just backs it up, and it's a flow kind of thing, right? And that is true even when you're not in the space. Like if I know that I'm connected with you and we're in a place where we're connecting in that moment, I know I can message you. I know that you would appreciate something and I know that it's there whether you're in the space or not.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not no connection, when we feel like we're in two different places, right, that doesn't happen whether I'm in the same room as you or not. Does that make sense? So I think that those moments that you have with the kids, even if they're only tiny, they're enough that regardless there's a connection field with the two of you or the four of you while you're separated in those times, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think it requires sitting and having a conversation. It's a knowing look or a wink or something that makes them feel that, yes, we're on the same page with this, you know, that we understand each other. And I've come to realise over the years that I actually have different relationships with all of the children. I always kind of thought, oh, I love kids, but actually I have a specific relationship that is mine and Lexi's, a specific relationship that is mine and Lola's, a specific relationship with my other nieces and nephews, you know?
But I think that's an important point, because I think you got to pay attention for each individual kid to what connection actually means, because connection for Lexi is different to connection for Oliver, which is different to connection for Lola. Correct. Does that make sense?
And do you know how I noticed it? Lola was at my place about a month ago. Remember, she was having a sleepover or more, and my nephew wanted to come over, and I was going to drop Lola home, but my nephew was coming over with his mates because he was going to stay the night. He was having pre-drinks at my place, and then they were going to come back and stay. So I needed to be there to let him in. And Lola was there. She was watching the video from India. The two of them met when they were in India.
Oh.
Right? Remember? Lola and Mark. Yeah. And Lola was sitting there watching the India video because she hadn't seen it yet. She's sitting there watching. Mark comes in with his mates and he was in the mode where he was just about to go party and drinking and stuff like that. He said hi and they connected for a bit and then he was here and she was there just while – probably about 10 minutes by the time I organised myself and went to leave, right? Yeah. But Lola called me and asked me something and I realised that I shifted how I communicate. I mean, obviously she's 9 years old. I shifted how I communicated with her. And then 2 minutes later, I'm speaking to Mark, and my voice, my tone, everything is totally different communicating with him. And I realized how that was actually the moment, only about a month ago, where I realized that my relationship is different, and it doesn't mean it's better or worse, but my relationship with all of them are unique to the person and unique to what they require and unique to what's required in that moment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So that's a frequency thing, right, which we always say, you know, it's a frequency thing.
Yeah.
You tune into one frequency with your mom, another frequency with your dad, and it's all dependent on their individual value systems. So if I want to connect with Lexi, I can do it through music. you know, I can do a true, she does like to physically play.
Yeah.
If I want to connect with Ollie, I can do it through just telling him stories. If I want to do it through Lola, I can do it through, hey, you know, show me your next dance move or show me your cheerleading stuff. Yeah. And then also she's very physical. She's physically cuddly.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for parents to be aware that each individual child connects differently, not to be trying to short circuit or hot wire connection by playing with them, because that, because I find if I play too much with Ollie, he gets annoyed.
Yeah.
Even though he's laughing and he wants to keep doing it and he keeps pushing me and I keep saying, no, don't do that, and you come and jump on me again, he still gets annoyed because he's not getting what he's trying to get. He gets frustrated because he's not connecting with me. Do you know what I mean? Trying to get the next hit.
So just going on that then, what we were talking about at the beginning. So that whole parent guilt thing around that, right?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of it comes because they try, so parents try so hard to be everything for their children, right?
Mm.
And that, I think that's also the case with you at times, especially if you've been, like you've been away doing seminars and you come back and you're looking for moments to connect, but you also need to recharge because you need to have that a minute for yourself, right? But especially a parent who's been with the kids all day, every day, it's very difficult because you need to have those moments where it's about you as well, right? And I feel like it's so important. I think parents forget that the connection with kids happens only as a result of your ability to connect with yourself and understand what's important for you as well. So you can't leave out what's important for you when you're thinking about how to connect with the kids. You, like, for example, Ange sees me playing cards with the kids sometimes, Monopoly deal, right, with the girls. And she's like, that would just do my head in. Mm. So that's not a way to connect. Even though the girls like it, that's not her, Ange's way to do it, because she just wouldn't love that, you know. So she's got to find ways to connect that relate to her and that are important for her. Otherwise, she's not going to be able to do that with the kids, right? Because
Ange hates that stuff because she hates losing.
I think that's just, Ange just loves to communicate. Ange is a talker, right? Mm. So she gets a lot of her connection by having conversations with them and you know, doing other things with them, you know, rather than that sort of stuff. So I think that the guilt comes in, I think, when we try and make the kids more important and thinking that in doing that, right, we should be okay because we're looking after the kids, but not realizing that, you know, the parenting gig is a hard gig. It's a tough thing. I don't know how parents do it, to be honest. I think there's a reason why I wasn't given children, because I think I wouldn't be patient at all to deal with them. You know, I love
you're really good with them. I mean,
I'm really good with them.
Like, I'd be like, oh my God, how can you spend that much time doing that?
Yeah, but I'm really good with them. But I also, it doesn't matter how much time I spend with them, Mitch, I get to go home.
Yeah.
Even if I'm spending a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks with them, I know that at the end of that, I'm not spending, you know, 18 years with them all at once. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that helps me to feel, that helps me to feel like to be able to do that. But my point is that you have to be able to give, to yourself first, because if you don't give it, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know a good way to talk about it, but I feel like, you know, I was just speaking to someone the other day.
You can get lost in your kids, right?
Yeah.
Because we see this, I mean, we probably spoke about this before, but we see so many parents just being all about their kids and not understanding what their kids are shitheads. You know, and their kids are just fighting back and pushing back. And as they get older, they get into their teen years and they just, the kids just can't stand the parents. You know, they just, and the parent is like, you know, I don't know what to do about it. They just drive me bananas.
Because they handed themselves over. The parent handed themselves over and had no part of themselves in that.
They think that that's what you mean to do and that's what a good parent is. But that's not what a good parent is. Mm. You know, a good parent is not somebody that hands themselves over. A good parent is someone that, you know, understands that the kids are there, but their life is their life. Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise, if you hand your life over to your kids, they just feel like indebted.
And I think it's okay to get that you don't love the job 100% of the time. Do you know what I mean? You know, because I think parents who find it difficult at times find it difficult or think it's difficult because they think they're supposed to be one way all of the time.
I'm supposed to be enjoying this.
I'm supposed to be like the perfect mum. You can't be that. You can't be that with your friends. You can't be that with your parents. Mm. You can't be that with your partner. There is no way you can give all of yourself to your children. No. It's just not possible.
No.
And so we think that we have to be this way, and we think we have to be all of that, and then not, and so we're trying to be the perfect mother or the perfect father in halves, thinking that you have to love every moment of it.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
No.
So do you get that?
Well, I think that the problem is that's that guilt thing, you know. You have to understand that the thing that you don't give the kid, they get it anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we say all the time, guilt is a perception that someone close to you is having a loss without a gain. And so you cannot give the kids everything, and you better get fucking okay with that quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you can't give them everything. And in not giving them everything, you give them everything because they don't get it. But your job is to be able to understand that. That's what your job is.
Mm.
Your job is to be able to understand that that's what parenting is. Parenting is not, I gave my child a perfect life. Parenting is that when they were up, I was there for them. When they were down, I was there for them. And whether they were up or down, I loved them anyway. And if you're not going to do that, if you're not willing to do that, then you can't be a parent. You can't love your kids in halves. So people go, yeah, but well, I'm not, you know. No, you are. If you're not loving the shithead in them as well, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was just thinking about Lexi, because Lexi really is the one that is the most sensitive and I'm most closer to. I'm most closest to her energy sensitivity.
Well, she's very like you, so you resonate.
Yeah.
You mean you resonate more with her personality in the sense and that she's
and as
very
much as
similar
I talk about this stuff a lot, like I often ask myself, Jesus, have I given her the best shot? Have I fucking done any damage here? Have I, you know, because there's been times where I've given her a hard time, you know, and not because I don't love her, but because I expect more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And that's been tough for her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, and then.
Well, in what way? What do you mean?
It's just been tough because it's been, you know, I haven't wanted to break her little spirit, you know, and she's very spirited. But there's times when I just don't know whether she gets that, you know, and whether, you know, later in life how I've been as a father is going to affect her in a way that stops her from living the best life that she can.
Mm.
You know, but I think the fact that I think that is what makes me a good dad.
Yeah, so I think that that's important as you go through the process to be able to communicate some of that to her. Not all of it, but some of it to her.
Yeah.
And I think
I've sat down and said to her, listen, there's going to come a time period where you're not going to like me. It's just, it may not happen, but it, you know, there's going to come a time period, you know, where you may, you know, not think that I was a good dad, you know, that I should have been fairer, or I should have been softer, or I should have been more understanding. Because she'll say to me, you don't listen. And I'm like, no, I do listen. I just don't agree with what you're doing. And just because I don't agree with what you're fucking doing, it doesn't mean that I don't listen. You just keep saying I don't listen because I'm not agreeing with you. But I totally hear what you're asking me, and I totally hear what you're saying. But I don't think you should be sitting on the fucking iPad for 4 hours, Lexi, cooking your fucking brain. You're going to turn into an iPad. Do you know what I mean? You don't listen.
Mm.
And that's difficult, you know?
Yeah.
Because they pull the you don't listen. You don't love me.
But when the kids are... I'm gonna call you on that, though. Because when the kids are pulling you on that, it's because it's true, dude.
What is?
The fact that you don't listen.
Yeah, fucking hell.
But not... I'm talking about there's something she's trying to communicate that you haven't heard. You might have heard her words, maybe. But there's something she's trying to communicate that you haven't heard. And I think that is what she's asking you to see. That's a call for connection there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Not that you don't listen to actually what she's saying to you, because I know that you do that.
Because it's not about the laptop.
No, it's about like that something
whole
else.
It's like that whole concept we were talking about the other day, and we were doing Flip the Script, where I was saying to the guys, you know, you can see me on the screen here, but you know I'm not on the screen.
Yeah.
If I say put this in the file on the screen, you know that there isn't a little man behind the screen grabbing the fucking thing and putting it in a file.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something much deeper going on, there's something much more complicated going on in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you got to pay attention to that. When they're yelling at you, that's not what the problem is.
No.
There's something else going on. So she's just broke up with this boyfriend.
Her little boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta take a minute. Well, it's, I know, it's bad to have visions of axes.
I see it differently.
It was cool how she did it. Like,
well, I think that she's, I think you've, you know that spirit thing? I think that you, Did I just interrupt you there? I did interrupt you.
No, no.
I'm sorry. People have told you off for interrupting me, so I'm just interrupting you. Okay, so there you go. Yeah. But her, you said about her little spirit, but she has a spirit. She does.
Yeah, yeah.
Those, like, she's able to stand up for herself. Yeah. And you got to get that the lessons that you teach her. And if you're seeing that. If you're seeing it that maybe she's going to see you one way, then you have an opportunity now to have a look at and see if she can see you another way and be more of, you know, more than that, you know, for yourself. Mm. Ultimately, I suppose the message I wanted to share today is that
fucking
the guilt.
Hurry up.
No, the guilt thing is real, right?
Yeah.
For people, but it doesn't need to be. And the reason it is because you're making your kids more important than yourself. You have to start by connecting with yourself.
Yeah.
And then you got to...
But you can't just say that. Like,
why?
What the fuck does that mean? How do you connect with yourself? Tell people.
You have to take time for yourself. You've got to know what's important for you. You've got to know where your boundaries are and what's okay and what's not okay. Mm-hmm. And how much time, realistically, a human being can spend in the company of another human being. Doesn't matter how much you love them. You have to have your own space. Your kids will need their space too, but you will need your space. And if you can't be in different places, then you have to find ways of getting your own space. That's connecting with yourself and remembering who you are without the kids.
I think a good tip on connecting as well is understanding that your kids process things slower than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say to Ollie, are we going to go out on the bike? I look at him and say, Ollie, are we going to go out on the bike? And he won't say anything. And I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, Dad, let's go out on the bike. Do you know what I mean? So I see how parents get very frustrated with their kids. Answer me. Are you doing it or not? The kid like freaks out and fucking bursts into tears because they're not answering. And it's just because they haven't computed.
Yeah.
You know, there's a computer. So when I ask him a question, I can literally hear the fucking gears grinding in his head. You know, he's computing what I'm saying to him. But it's same with Lola and same with Lexi, you know. Mm-hmm. Lexi's speeding up now. So neurologically, you can see that she processes things faster.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be getting mad at your kids if they're not giving you the answer that they want straight away. It's because they literally, it takes about 5 seconds for them to process what you've just asked them or what you've just said to them.
Yeah.
Have you cleaned your room? 1, 2. Have you brushed your teeth? 1. So can you imagine the amount of time I'm fucking losing every night?
Yes.
Know, that's what I'm so
reminding them that these, okay, I think we've did we cover everything? I think we did. Just about making sure that we find times to connect that are real for us as well as the kids.
And what connection is and what it looks like for them as well as you.
In terms of their values, you know, what constitutes connection. And a lot of the time, it's actually for me in my experience with kids, it's actually just quality time.
Mm.
Not time spent talking or doing anything. It's just quality.
Yeah.
You're there doing what they want to do. And if you spend really high quality time with them, you won't need to spend as much time with them.
You spend a lot less.
You spend a lot less because you're actually fully present in their little world and that means the world to them.
Mm. Cool.
Anyway, yeah.
Ciao.
Kitties, love kitties.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.